If you have your Bibles with you this morning, you want to turn to these passages of Scripture. I'm going to be reading several, beginning with 1 Peter chapter 1, and then I'm going to read some other passages of Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'm going to be commenting on some of these as we go through them. And I'm going to be speaking to you this morning on the subject of salvation is a matter of birth. Salvation is a matter of birth. And I want us to understand this morning that human beings, we as human beings, cannot birth ourselves into the kingdom of God. We can't do that. We can't be saved or have eternal life by keeping the Ten Commandments or religious rules and regulations, joining the church, living a good life, and any other such ideas that man may have or that religious organizations and so forth over the world have provided for us or what they may say. The only means, everybody say only. The only means of having eternal life is to be born again by the Spirit of God. And only God, through His Holy Spirit, can birth us again. We can't do that. Only God can do that. And so with that in mind, as we read some of these passages of Scripture and comment on them, I don't really know just exactly where I want to be. I guess I'll start right here. In John chapter 14, if you want to turn there, you can, but you don't have to because I'm not going to read too much of it. When Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well, in verse 13, Jesus answered and said to the woman, because she was wondering where they were supposed to worship and what they were supposed to do, and had kind of entered into a discussion with Jesus about what was happening in that area. And he was at the well asking her for a drink. And so he said to her, as he always did, I just love the things that Jesus did. He just always took common things, common circumstances. He met people where they were in their circumstances and situations of life, and spoke to them when necessary. But oftentimes they just touched him and he met their need. Amen. Like the little woman that had the issue of blood and came through the crowd, pushed her way through because she said in her heart, if I can just get there, if I can just get there and touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. And as Jesus was walking along with his disciples, and there was a bustling and a hustling, and people were bumping into one another, and they were going down the road or the trail, and all of a sudden he stopped, and he said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" And the disciple says, I can see it, probably Peter. He was always the boldest one, right? Lord, what do you mean, who touched you? That you're here in this crowd, and people are bumping us around, knocking us around, we're rubbing shoulders with everybody. What do you mean somebody touched you? And he said, I perceive. Jesus answered him and said, I perceive, I know, I sensed in my body that virtue, healing power went out of me and touched somebody in this crowd. That's the kind of touch we need to get. And we need to have. Amen. We just need to get in touch with Him. We can go through all kinds of things, but really in the end, we just need to get in touch with Him and have Him touch us or us touch Him. Excuse me. And touch Him with a faith that says, I know if I can just get in touch with Him. I know that if I can just close to Him where He can touch me, my needs, this issue, this problem, or whatever's going on in my life, I know it's going to be taken care of. And one of the reasons we know that is because in His Word He says, cast a few of your cares and your concerns upon Him because He cares for you. Is that what it says? Can somebody fill in that word? All. Cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. And if you don't get anything else out of this message, then I don't know when I'm going to get back up there. If I even will or do, but I probably will. But anyway, if you don't get anything else out of this message, get this. God knows everything about us, about you, and about me. He knows everything. And in spite of how we may feel, whether we feel proud and arrogant or religious or whatever, or whether we feel down and unworthy and not able to come into His presence and just don't really, however we feeling, God knows all about that. And I want you to know He loves you anyway. Get that. He loves you anyway. The Bible tells us that God commended His love, that is, He brought forth His love, He showed His love, He demonstrated His love for all of us, everybody in the whole world, from the time of Adam and Eve in Genesis till the end of time. He demonstrated that love. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him and put their trust in Him would be saved and have their sins forgiven. Amen? And it's not a difficult thing, really, to be saved. The Bible says, real simply, and I believe that means if it's coming from a heart and the person is sincere about it, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And the Bible tells us in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if we will, the means of, or if you want an actual path or something to do or something to say when you come to Him in order to be saved, He said, if you would, in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if you would confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that means, Jesus, I can't run my life, I can't save myself, I can't do a lot of things that I want to do, and when I try, there's some things that I always fail. I want you to be my Lord. I need your help. Amen? As you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And that's, when we say that, that means we mean it, but it also means that as we go through our lives from that time forward, we have to recognize that we need to, when we're going through anything, whether it's good or bad, if we're going through anything in our lives, we need to come to the recognition or the knowledge, we need to acknowledge the fact that Jesus Christ is our Lord and that we're depending on Him and trusting Him to take care of things. And not only that, we don't get worried and upset when He doesn't take care of them just that instant. Sometimes He does. Sometimes He doesn't. Sometimes we have to wait a while. And when we're having to wait a while, sometimes because we're trusting Him, that is a what the Bible calls a trial of our faith. That means we're waiting. We're patiently trusting the Lord. We believe that He said He would do something, and we trust Him to do it. And sometimes that may take some time, because a lot of things that we pray for involves other people, and God knows where they are and what's going on in their lives, and He knows what exactly what it's going to take and when it's going to take it. But I believe with all of my heart that if a parent prays, or even a child prays for their parents, parent prays for their child, and they're Christians and they claim that child or that person for the Lord, that God's going to do His best to touch that person's life and bring them to salvation. I believe that when people call and say, I'm hurting, or they're going through a trial or a tribulation or a problem or an issue in their lives, and we pray for them, and the Bible says, where two or more agree on earth as touching any one thing that they would ask, it will be done of our Father which is in heaven. Now, that doesn't mean I'm a pilot, commercial pilot, instrument-rated pilot, I fly, but that doesn't mean I can go and ask the Lord for an airplane. Are you with me? I wouldn't ask Him, as much as I would like to have one, I wouldn't ask Him for one. First of all, they're very expensive, and insurance is sky high, and the upkeep, the store, and the fuel is high, and everything's high. So if he furnished it, if He gave me one, He'd have to furnish all everything that I needed, because if otherwise, it'd just be sitting at the airport. Are you with me? So we don't have to figure out how He's going to do it, or when He's going to do it, or exactly how He's going to do it. We just trust Him to be able to do it. And sooner or later, I believe we're going to see the answer. Amen? If we ask anything, Jesus said, if we ask anything according to His will, He'll do it. Now, I pray this way. So I'm saying, Lord, and I quote this, You said, You're not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So on that basis, I'm praying for my son, my daughter, or my loved one, or whoever I'm praying for. I am claiming them for You, and then I get somebody to agree with me, and we're going to agree together that person, whatever their need is, whatever their problem is, whatever their issue is, if it's salvation, whatever it is, God's going to answer our prayers in His way and in His time. Now, sometimes I've prayed for something, and I've seen it done immediately. Sometimes I've prayed for things, it didn't happen right away. And I've told a car story so many times, I don't know whether I need to tell that again. Anybody want to hear the car story? My youngest daughter, I bought her a brand new car when she graduated. She was going to go to work, which she did. She already had a job, and she was going to pay for it. 3 months later, her and her future husband, about 3 or 4 months, came to my house and said, Dad, I'm going to have to give you the car back. Can't make the payments on it, because he's got a car and we're making payments on that. We can't make 2 payments on a car. And so here I am with a truck and 2 automobiles trying to make payments. And I prayed for a good while, saying, Lord, I need to get rid of this car. And it didn't happen for a long time. And one day I was going somewhere to the jail, county jail, to talk to one of my parishioners that had been thrown in there. And I was talking to him, and it was kind of like he came and sat down in the car with me. And we got through talking about what he wanted me to say to that person, what he wanted me to do, and how he wanted me to handle that situation. And he was about to leave, and I said, Lord, what about that car? And I actually saw him laugh as he went out the door. He was in the passenger seat, and I was driving down SPID. And he said, it'll be sold tomorrow by 10 o'clock. Tomorrow at 10 o'clock, I looked at my watch, because a man came and looked at the car and said, I'll buy it, and wrote me a check for it right there. So I want to say that, not because that's something he did for me, but that's something that the Lord will do for any of his children. He wants us to talk to him about everything, and he can, and just remember this, he can do anything. Amen. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. That means watch what you think. Watch what you're thinking. Be sober. That doesn't mean to be drunk. It means to be sober. Well, you don't want to be drunk anyway, but be sober means to be sober-minded. Think on the right things. And hope to the end for the grace. Everybody say grace. Everything that we have comes from God's grace. It doesn't come from because we deserve it or before we do something. It comes because He loves us. Are you with me? Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Some of the best revelations of Jesus Christ, and what that means is getting to know Him. Getting to know Him. How do you get to know somebody? I have some good friends, some in this church, and I get to know them. And how do they get to know me? We spend some time together. How much time do we spend with Jesus? How much time do we spend in His Word? How much time? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You said, I wish I had the faith that that person has. Well, get into the Word of God, because that's where faith comes from. And that's how we get to know Him. And so, as we go through our day, I'd suggest when you get up in the morning, the first thing you say before you get out of bed, as soon as you wake up, is, good morning, Lord. Good morning. And it wouldn't hurt if you added, this is the day you've made, and I'm going to be glad in you, and I'm going to rejoice in you. Amen? And then you can talk to Him as you go through the day. If something's bothering you, tell Him, hey, this, Lord, this is bothering me. He knows it's bothering you. You just need to talk to Him. You have not because you ask not. Isn't that what He said? So that's how we spend time with Him. That's how we get to know Him. As we spend time to Him, when we go through our day and as we talk about different things, it's good to talk to other people and get them to agree with you, but there's a lot of people you can talk to that they can't solve your problems, but God can solve every problem. Amen? So, grace is brought to us through the understanding, the revelation of Jesus Christ, and that comes about, the revelation, the revealing, and the knowing of Jesus Christ comes about to us as we have a relationship with Him and as we go through our lives. And then it says, as obedient children, so if we call Him Lord, then He expects us to be obedient. Not, and to be obedient, he explains in verse 14, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. It's not fashioning ourselves the way we used to be before we met the Lord and before we were saved and got to knowing Him. We're not supposed to do that anymore. We're as obedient children, that's one of the things that we do. The Bible tells us in Ephesians, that we are in Ephesians chapter 4, that we are to put off as believers. This is something that we do, and you hear me say this a lot, but I need for us to understand that. Put off the old man, that is who we were before we became Christians. Put that old man off and be renewed in the spirit of our minds and put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. That's what we do. You say, well, how do we do it? Just do it. Just say, Lord, here I am. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Help me to live for you. What do you want me to do? You're my Lord. I want to be an obedient child. I want to put off the things that I've done ignorantly before I knew you. Verse 15, he tells us something else here in verse 15. And our relationship with him, and so we can get to know him. As he which has called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation. Be holy. And that means watch what you say. Be careful. Before I was a Christian, and now I was a church member, but I wasn't a Christian. I didn't get to be a Christian later on until I literally came and said, I thought I was a Christian because I'd have joined a church. But I found out that didn't make me a Christian. Later on, what made me a Christian is when I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and said, here I am, Lord. So he tells us, I want you to be holy. So be ye holy in all manner of conversations. Verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And he quotes from the scriptures and the Bible. Be ye holy, for I am holy. So holy means my righteousness is of the Lord, and I try to do my best to please him. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. That doesn't mean we're not going to stumble and we're not going to fall. Holy means to be set apart. We're set apart for him, and we recognize that we're set apart for him. Verse 17, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning or your living here on this earth in fear. And that doesn't mean a fear and trembling that we're just so afraid that we don't even approach him, we don't want to talk to him. That means we stand in awe of him, what he can do and who he is. That's all that means. That means we are in awe. And we should always be in awe of who our Heavenly Father is and what He can do and what He's done. And we need to think on those things because that'll help us in our lives if we think back, well, I prayed about that and God answered that prayer and I did this and God took care of that and God took care of this. And we need to remind one another. That encourages people. And sometimes you don't have to do anything. I explained one time my wife was sitting right over there in that corner. She's gone on to be with the Lord now. But she was sitting about four pews back on that corner. And someone just came by, some lady just came by. And as she went by, she laid her hand on her shoulder. And that was a touch as far as Pat was concerned. And lady didn't know what she did. But as far as she was just expressing, I know you're here, I recognize you're here, I love you, or whatever she was trying to say by that touch. But God used that touch to, by His power of His Holy Spirit, to just fill her with joy and let her know, hey, I know where you are, I know what's going on, now you're blessed. Amen? Sometimes it doesn't just take a whole lot of things to do something to help somebody and to encourage somebody. Verse 18, 1 Peter chapter 1, for as much as you know, and hopefully we do, all of us, that we were not redeemed. How many of you realize we're redeemed? That means we've been redeemed, means we've been purchased. How were we purchased? By the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You were redeemed, and it wasn't with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. I'm reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Now going to verse 19. How were we redeemed? But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times. Everybody say, for me. If you're a Christian, it was for you. Who by him, those of us who by him put our trust in God, do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, so that our faith and hope might be in God. It's not in a church. It's not in a church membership. It's not in religion. It's not in do's and don'ts. It's not in any of all of these things that some people have come up with, or churches or religions or denominations have come up. It's in him, Jesus. Amen? It's in him. He's the only one that gave his life to redeem us and to purchase us so that we could be born again and God could become our Heavenly Father and we could have a relationship with God right here and now. I'm not waiting to get to heaven to have a relationship with God. I'm having a relationship with God, my Father, Heavenly Father. He's my Heavenly Father right now, not when I get to heaven. Jesus is my Savior, our Savior. If we're saved, he's our Savior right now, not when we get somewhere else. He's right now. It's a now salvation. So that our faith and our hope might be in God. Verse 22, look at this. Seeing. He wants us to see this. He wants us to understand this. He wants us to know this and have knowledge of this, because this is so tremendously important. Some people are still going around trying to purify their souls and get right with God and don't understand that they're already right with God through faith and hope in God and in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love, other brethren, see that you love one another in a pure heart fervently. So I can love people. Do I love them all the time? But the Bible says, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. I want to tell you another story. Amen? I was working for a construction company. I've been with Intech Engineering. I've been with Barry Contracting, Golson Contracting, Intech Engineering, Golson Engineering. I've worked for a lot of different companies. Most of the time I've worked my whole life and pastored this church. I started this church when I was working back in 1979. I've only been pastor of this church for getting a salary for the last 4, 5, 6 years. I've always worked. Now I forgot what I was going to tell you. But the Lord knows where we are. He knows what's going on. And he can help us at any time. And he will help us if we'll trust him and we'll ask him. So I'll get back up here to the scripture. Maybe I'll remember what story I was going to tell you. I don't have it written down here. That your faith and your hope might be in God. Seeing, verse 22, that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and to unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now I'll tell you my story. I had given my life to the Lord and surrendered to the preach at a very young age, and I'd worked in all these different places. I wanted to be full time. And so there was a man that came from my house from Oklahoma, and he said, we have book racks And we sell all of these Christian books and Bible books and good gospel stories. I'm out of Oklahoma, and I want to, if you want to be in a full-time business, I'll sell you 10 of those racks and all the books, and we'll furnish everything for you. Cost you $5,000. And we'll get you all the racks and the books. All you need to do is just go by the store or wherever you want to put the racks. And first thing you know, you'll have the racks and the books and you'll be in business. Boy, I said, wow, that sounds good. I didn't have $5,000. We were both broke. You know, I mean, just getting by. So I went to bank and borrowed some money. Went to a savings and loan and borrowed some money. Went to a finance company and borrowed some money. And by the time I got through, I'd borrowed money from several places and I owed $5,000. But I gave that man a check for $5,000. Then I went to HEB's, to their main office. At that time, it was in Corpus. And I said, I'd like to put some racks. And I explained to the guy what I was talking about, and racks and the books. And y'all will make a profit off of them also. I just like to put them, set them in a spot in your church, I mean, into your HEB stores. And he said, Lewis, that sounds like a good idea. We'll do that. So I had that all set up. I could go put all of these racks and these books in HEB stores. Man, I was looking good. I never got the books or the racks. But I had to pay back the loans. And I was going to use the business, the books and the racks and the sales and that, to pay back my loan. Y'all understand where I am, right? So I got mad. I mean, I got very mad. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Just forgive me. Just forget about it. I'm going to go to Oklahoma. I'm going to kill that man. I even laid in bed thinking at night, if he has a dog or a cat, I'll kill it too, whatever's in the way. And if I have to, I'll burn down his house. Are you with me? Now listen, this is coming from a preacher. Doesn't sound like the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart, let me tell you for sure. Because he says we're to love our enemies. So this was eating me alive. I was so filled with hate. And I got down on my knees one night after Pat had already gone to bed, and I was late, and I got into bed and Pat, I don't know, 12:31, whatever time it was. And the Lord said, get on your knees and pray. So I got on my knees beside the bed and I said, Lord, okay, what do you want me to pray about? You forgive that man in Jesus' name. And you know what I prayed? Because I'm talking to my Father, amen, my Heavenly Father. I said, Lord, I can't forgive that man. I don't want to forgive that man. And in fact, when I see that man, I'm probably going to kill him. And the Lord said, I want you to say his name and I want you to forgive him right now. And I said this, Lord, I'm going to do what you asked me to do, but I want you to know right now it's not coming from my heart and I don't mean it. Might as well be honest, right? He said, you just say it. So I got on my knees. I was already on my knees. I said, Lord, I forgive so-and-so in Jesus' name. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God and the love of God came into my life. And I actually prayed for that man and wept for him. Not because I loved him, but because God loved him through me. And I knew no matter what he did, he needed to be forgiven. That's not the end of the story, but later on, several months later, I was in Oklahoma and my company sent me up there to work in Duncan, Oklahoma at a refinery, Sun Oil Refinery in Duncan, Oklahoma. And so while I was working for Sun Oil in Duncan, Oklahoma, I decided when I get a time off, I'm going to go over to Audemars or wherever that place was where this guy was, and I'm going to go up to his office, see if he still has an office. I'm going to go up there and talk to him. But what I'm going to tell him is when I walk into his office and see him, I'm going to say, I forgive you in Jesus' name. I was actually going to say that. I did. I went over there, found his office, went up to his office, went in the door. His secretary was sitting there. I said, where's Mr. So-and-so? I don't even remember his name. He said, ma'am, here are you. And I said, my name is Lewis Cowan. Ordered some books and racks and whatever several months ago, and I never did receive them. And I just come by here to want to see what happened. And she said, well, Mr. Cowan, I'm sorry. You won't be able to see him. He's in prison. And she's told me some stories. She said, you're not the only one didn't get your books. There wasn't already anybody didn't get their books. She said, I can put you in touch with an elderly lady that's way up in years, semi-retired. And all she had, she's living in a trailer house, and all she had $5,000. That was all she had, and she gave that to get the books so she would have some income coming in. She never got her books either. I lost her $5,000. And she said, that's not the only one. She said, that's why he's in prison. And I didn't say, praise God. I didn't say anything. I just walked out of there. Because I discovered, hey, if you do people wrong, sooner or later, it's going to come back to you. Amen? And we don't want to do people wrong, ever. But I just want to tell you, in spite of all of the losses and everything, or the good things and ups and downs in life, I want to say this. God is good. All the time. God is good. And He loves us. He may not do everything that we want Him to do when we want Him to do it, or He may not ever do it at all. But He loves us. He's our Heavenly Father. We can have a relationship with Him and talk to Him anytime. And there's a whole lot of prayers He does hear. And a lot of things that He does do. In fact, there's so many things that He does for us, oftentimes we don't even recognize what all He's done and is doing in our lives. God's good. And so we need to remember that. Because when the enemy tries to attack us and to prevent us from going to church or reading the Bible or studying or the Word of God or trying to deal with people or whatever, he likes to take away the peace of God that passes all understanding in our hearts and lives when we're walking with the Lord. And put it this way, when your peace of God is gone, there's something wrong. Get it back as soon as you possibly can. You say, well, how'd I get it back? Just say, Lord, I don't know what's wrong, but I sure miss your peace. And I sure miss your presence in my life. So please help me to understand. And I've prayed this prayer before. Lord, I don't understand what's going on, But I miss your presence, and it may be I haven't done anything wrong, because sometimes the trying of our faith, which is much more precious than gold, though it be tried with fire, and so we walk by faith and not by sight, so that means sometimes we may not sense the presence of God for a long time, but we walk by faith, so we have to believe if we haven't done anything, then he's right there with us and he'll never leave us nor forsake us, because he says he's never will never leave us and forsake us. He also says, well, I'm with you till the end of time. Amen? That's a good God. Amen? So while we don't walk by feelings, we walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith. We talk by faith. Everything that we have is by faith. And so he says here that your faith and your hope might be in God. And he also says in verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Now that's our text. That's what I was going to preach on this morning. I just got there. So we're going to talk about next time, if the Lord doesn't change my mind, we'll get back on this. And we're going to talk about the corruptible seed and the incorruptible seed. You can read that in 1 Peter chapter 1. What's corruptible and what's incorruptible? And how do we know the difference? And what can we do about it? Amen? Because we're born again, not of corruptible seed. We've been born by the Spirit of God in incorruptible. Amen. Let's everybody stand. You want to come to the altar for any reason, to pray or just to come to pray maybe for somebody or for yourself, or maybe something's been, the enemy is trying to use something in your life that's been, he's trying to worry you with or discourage you or frustrate you with. You want to just come and cast all your cares on him, whatever. Or maybe somebody that you're praying for. Whatever. Just come on. Well, we're going to agree together. There's several people here this morning. Amen. And we can agree together. Amen. So if you don't have to come necessarily to come to the altar, but if you do come to the altar, we're going to pray for you in a special prayer. Amen. And we're going to pray for everybody. Amen. So let's just agree together. Amen. Father, we're going to come together before your throne of grace as you've asked us to and as we trust you. Because you're a good God, a great God, and a mighty God, and an awesome God. And so we're going to agree, Father, right now with everybody in this building right now that's praying for somebody or praying about something. We agree with them right now, and we lift their prayer request before your throne of grace, and we're going to take you at your word where two or more agree on earth as touching any one thing that they'd ask. It's of your will. You're not willing that any should perish. You're willing to supply all of our needs according to riches and glory. So we're going to lift all these prayer requests before you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to agree, Father, that there is no problem. There's no situation. There's nothing that's too great for you, that you can take care of everything. You're the Lord. You can do all things in Jesus' name. And then, Father, for these that have come to this altar, for whatever reason, we agree together with them, Lord, that their prayers and the intents and the thoughts of their heart right now have come up before your throne of grace, that you're a good God and you love them. And so we lift them before your throne of grace, and we agree together with them that their prayers have been heard, that you love them and you've taken care of them, and you're going to supply all of their needs according to your riches and glory in Jesus' name. And right now, in the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bind any thoughts, negative, hate, whatever it is that the enemy is trying to put in their minds, we bind him away from them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cease and desist now. Stop. You cannot do that. We do not allow that in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for authority that we have when we agree together in Jesus' name to have prayers answered. Thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.